This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hello, everyone.
Hey, friends.
We're so glad you joined us for another episode of our podcast. We are very excited about today's episode. Joining us is a special guest, and we know you're just going to really get a lot from this episode. We have Rochelle Starr with us. She is the founder and executive director of Scarlet Hope, and she has a new book coming out November 8th called Outrageous Obedience. And we are super excited, Rochelle, to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor and a privilege to be on your show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being here. So tell me a little bit about, or tell us, I should say, a little bit about who you are and your story and how God has brought you to this point in your life.
That's a big question.
It is a big question. It can go a lot of different ways, you know, right?
Let's start with the best. I have been married for almost 18 years to my high school sweetheart. I have two boys that are amazing. I have an almost 2-year-old and I have a 9-year-old.
Wow.
And they are both domestically adopted and they love each other so much. I love them so much. They're so cute. I grew up as a pastor's kid in a Christian home. And a little bit of a sneak peek is that my parents taught me at a very, very early age that if we were following Jesus, we had to love people that were not like us and that the world deemed unlovely. So that was my example growing up. I knew absolutely no different. And when I got married young and I got into my own world, like, how is my faith going to become my own? I started asking the Lord, what is my purpose and who are my people? Hmm. And that's really what has led us to this point. In 2007, I was called by God, passing a Theater X in Indiana. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, Rochelle, I'm sending you to those people to share my hope and my love. And I want you to go to them. I don't want you just to drive by and pray about this place. I want you to actually go to them. Mm. And so I started going to to women in the adult entertainment industry in 2008. And God has just honestly miraculously changed my life, but also expanded the ministry to 9 cities in America.
Wow.
And the people that work in these places are my people now. And so that's where I'm at today.
What was the most surprising thing about that call when the Holy Spirit pulled you that way? Like, because it sounds like it was very unexpected, right? And how did that like work in? Like, what did it hit?
Yeah. So I actually, a lot of people think maybe because of my name, for some odd reason, Rochelle Starr, that I've been in the industry.
Oh.
I know it might seem like that, but unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever way you want to look at this, that isn't where my story started. But when the Holy Spirit prompted me to do that, I actually had been trying to do a lot of other types of ministry. Okay. This was not on my radar at all. I was trying to work in homeless ministry. I was trying to work with college students, all of these things. And I still felt unsettled in my spirit that this was not exactly what I was created to do. And so when the call came, it was, as I like to say, confidently called, because I did not doubt and have never doubted the people God has sent me to since the moment he did. And so it's just one of those things that I never expected the Lord to do this, but I'm so grateful that he did.
Yeah.
So Rochelle, you touched on this a little bit about kind of about your upbringing and how your parents kind of raised you to love, you know, the unlovable, but, you know, clearly a gifting of yours is just loving like Jesus and without judgment. Was that always your experience when you initially felt called into the strip club and the sex industry? What was there judgments that kind of came up into you and up in you? And how has that progressed, you know, to where you are now?
Actually, to answer this very honestly, I have never had judgment to the people in the industry. If I've struggled with judgment, it's been to the Christian. And it's been to the church for being apathetic towards vulnerable people and for judging before they knew them. And I knew God was calling me to these places and these people once I started learning. And I've always, like, truly always had a heart, like, never seen anyone, even the men in the industry. And that's hard to say for a lot of people, because they say, well, I'm so angry with the men. Jesus came for them too, right? Yeah. Like, our ministry is to women, but a byproduct of our ministry is that men have come to know the Lord through this and have been freed. And so, no, but my judgment to specifically speak about that is sadly been towards, why doesn't the church just naturally do this?
That's good. And the volunteers that, you know, come alongside of you at Scarlet Hope, is that sometimes an issue for them? And how do you kind of get them in a space of just having the eyes of the Father?
Yeah, we have to do a lot of educating on sort of, here's the phrase I hear all of the time, still 15 years later. Well, they choose to do that. Well, I'm sure nobody wants me to give them a lesson on the word choice. How are choices coming to us, and what choices do we have? And so I won't go into it because I've researched it and read and tried to learn as much as I can about choice and educating people. Some people do have choices, but it's bad choices all across the board. They don't have choices like you and I, maybe. Right. And so, so a lot of volunteers that come to us, we spend a lot of time speaking about trauma, about vulnerabilities, about generational poverty, generational sin, and all of those things, because judgment comes, unfortunately, with that. Now, you and I both know pornography is taking this world by storm. And it's unfortunate. It is unfortunate. And so a lot of volunteers actually come to us to find healing from either pornography addiction or a husband's pornography addiction or whatever. And so they come in with that, like, that woman did this to me. And so we have to, like, work through and pray through and educate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That's really good. And women, I've been one of those women that have had an addiction to pornography, and it can work in anywhere. And as it relates to pornography, I have a family member that actually got into the industry, and it's an interesting change when you go from seeing that in a more sterile, like, oh, it just happens over here, to when it's very close. And then you just look at all of that a lot differently. And for me, it was just like, wow, this is someone's mother or someone's father, someone's brother, sister, son. I mean, it could be cousin. And it just changed a lot for me. And I think I really resonate with that. The church needs to be more involved and more relevant in these places where trauma has driven so much of why so many people jump into this industry.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. Yeah. It's a area of sin and brokenness that many people don't understand, but also many people don't want to understand. And until we actually take time to understand it, it's going to be a stronghold in our lives across the board. Sexual sin is going to be a stronghold in people's lives, you know?
And as some of our listeners may already know, and, you know, especially if they have read my book, a lot of you know my background is I was once a stripper many, many years ago, 20 years ago or so. And when I went into the strip club industry, I was a virgin. And I, as Rochelle has said in many of her podcasts, I didn't grow up, you know, dreaming about becoming a stripper. So this is kind of a full circle moment for me. And I'm going to try not to be emotional. But Rochelle, you know, just being in that space and one of the women that you have cared for and loved for. First, I want to thank you. Yeah. Because, you know, I was in that space and seeing things that I never had ever imagined I would ever see in my life. And I was knowing inside of me that there was more for me, and looking for a way out in a knight in shining armor. And that is what I said a lot in my book, that I was really leaning on men and relationships to be kind of my savior. And so for God to answer that, and with that prayer that I never even said at the time, but it's an answer to prayer for your ministry to rise up and for you to go in and love these women. I'm just so thankful. And so I know, yeah, we should be clapping for Rochelle and her ministry, because it's just a beautiful thing. But I know that, you know, the strip club has really just expanded over the years. And now the sex industry is just became so normalized. And so you started out as one thing. Now, what is Scarlet Hope kind of evolved to now? What does that look like now?
Yeah, we, through the years, I've tried everything and anything that God has allowed me to help women meet Jesus, but then become all that they could be in Christ. And so that's taken many shapes along the 15 years. Where we're at now is my main mission is to inspire Christian women to step into not just ministering to women in the industry, but whatever it is that God is calling them to bring the light of Christ to the darkness.
Amen.
And so what that looks like at Scarlet Hope now is we have 9 major cities that have Scarlet Hope ministry in them. What is Scarlet Hope ministry? We have extensive outreach programs to strip clubs, massage parlors, brothels. We reach women online, tens of thousands of women online. And then casino outreach in certain cities, and anywhere the adult entertainment industry and women are being exploited, we want to go. Mm-hmm. We definitely do come across trafficking victims. We are not inherently an anti-trafficking agency, because God first called me to women in the adult entertainment industry. And so not all women in the adult entertainment industry are trafficked, but we do help trafficking victims, and we do come across them, unfortunately, quite often now. Outreach is our main pillar. The second thing is, where do women go when they see me in a club and I'm like, Jesus loves you, here's a meal, I'm praying for you. And they look at me and go, now what? And I'll say, guess what? We have a community of women. You don't have to change your life right now at all. Like, you don't have to change your life at all for me. We want to invite you to a family, and you can come to our Hope for Her program. And those programs are running in each of our locations. And so women that are still in the life get to taste and see God's people are good. And some of them, we can be safe, right? And that's something that's missing in the between the industry and the church. And then the last thing we do, Tiffany, is we have a career development program that I'm very passionate about. But I was getting hundreds, and that's probably an understatement, of requests, please help me get a job. I want a way out.
Yeah.
But I can't get a way out because I have no other way, and I don't know how to survive without this. I don't know how to survive without sex, without selling my body, without drugs, whatever it may be. So in my time with the Lord in 2014, I heard God say very clearly, I've given you this people, I'm going to give you a way to get them out, right? So just like he leads the Israelites out of Egypt and into the promised land, and they honestly, they want to go right back to the wilderness, to be quite frank. But we have many women that come through our career development program where we pay them to learn new skills, a new way of life, to receive all the trauma care, all of the care that they need for 14 months. And then they can go on to a career, education, and many of them go to college. Many women who are in their 40s are getting the opportunity for the first time to go to college to do something they've longed to do since they were a little girl. Wow. It's just an amazing thing. So those are the three areas of our ministry that we're replicating around the country.
Wow. And Rochelle, your outrageous obedience. Speaking of your book, I want to spend some time talking about that, but it's just inspiring. Okay. I really thought and I am a go-getter, but I thought that I took some big steps, you know, and pushed through some fear. But when I hear your story and I hear just your upbringing of, like, you know, this pastor's daughter and kind of a pure life, and then to see what you step into without judgment and without question.
Yeah.
It's just so inspiring. And I, you know, if you could lay hands on me right now through this computer screen, and me and Jen, that would be amazing. But I would just love to hear, you know, why this book, and who's this book for? Who's your audience here? I know you touched on that a little bit, but what do you want, you know, your reader to take away from this book that's going to release November 8th? I'm so excited.
Thank you. I'm excited. I don't know what I am right now, but I'm excited because I'm excited to join people, women specifically, in this call that God has put on many women's lives to be outrageously obedient. Let me first explain. I didn't want to write a book. Okay. And this is the first time I've actually shared this particular part on a podcast, but I had been approached to write a book about 3 years into this ministry. And I said, no, I was like, never, no, no way.
And never say never, Rochelle.
I know. But I honestly, in 2018, I went to Israel, and this is going to sound way more dramatic than it is, but while I was in Israel, not thinking about writing a book, I heard the Lord say to me, write my story down so the world can hear. And I was like, what does that even mean? And so I came back and God lined every single piece of the puzzle up to write this book. And I didn't title it Outrageous Obedience because, like I mentioned to you before, this should just be something that the church is like doing. But now, hindsight's 2020, right? Like, most people think this is crazy. And so, so what does it look like to inspire people who God has placed specific callings, specific giftings on people's hearts, and how do they use those for the kingdom? There are barriers that cause you and I to be disobedient to the Lord and his promptings, right? Number one, fear, apathy. I mean, just like doubt. I mean, that's a huge one. Like, I doubt God could use me that way. And I've been trying to tell people, because people are like, do you always have to do something so outrageous like you do? No, it actually starts in the ordinary. It starts in the ordinary moments of obedience. And you will not imagine what God will do as an outrageous and loving God to reach his people. And
amen.
That's really what the book's about. It is my story and God's story through me, but it's really to inspire women. You can do this too. And you can do whatever it is that God's calling you to. You can do this. And I'm going to be your friend to help you, encourage you, walk alongside you. Oh my goodness. I just can talk about this now forever, because I keep meeting people, even like you, Tiffany, that honestly, you were outrageously obedient to leave the darkness and start walking in the light, and now sharing the gospel with other people and writing a book. All of these are outrageously obedient things for the kingdom. And I love it. I just think it's so fun.
Well, thank you, Rochelle. And you're just so inspiring. And Jen and I talk a lot on our podcast about like small and big moments we have with the Lord. So I'm kind of glad you kind of said that, because this does seem like such a big thing. This, you know, I'm being called into a strip club and talking to prostitutes on the street. And it seems so big and so, you know, just out of reach for some. So, you know, that is a calling on your life, Rochelle, and we're super thankful. But what I would love for you just to share, as you began your journey with the Lord, maybe as an adult or a teenager, what's some of those small, you know, obedience steps that kind of led you to where you are now, into this big obedience step?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it's like some practical things that people can actually do. So looking back on it, there's a couple of things. Number one, I have been really convicted that on my drive into work every day, I had about a 20-minute commute. It was only 5 miles, but I was driving into the city. I would turn off my music and I would pray, and I would sit in silence and listen. That alone, looking back, was an act of obedience, because I love music. I love to sing in the car, as you could imagine, and sing at the top of my lungs. But turning off my radio, praying for God to give me a purpose and a people, and then listening was an act of obedience. That's number one. Number two is the Holy Spirit, I believe, or listening to the Holy Spirit, responding to the Holy Spirit and being obedient is like a muscle. And so all along my commute, God would show me, give me eyes to see people that I honestly drove by every day and didn't recognize before. So I'm not suggesting listeners need to go do this, but I would pick up women that I saw that were walking on the side of the road, that were homeless, that were sitting there. I would take them to breakfast. I would ask them if we could, where do they need to go? Can I help them? I would get to know them. And then, yeah, I might see them tomorrow on the same street, but I would say, hey, Jennifer, how are you today? So those are like small acts of obedience. And was that exactly what God was calling me to? Because in my mind, I was like, maybe God's calling me to homeless people, you know? And of course, our population, a lot of them are homeless, but I think that he was preparing me. Can you listen and obey me in the small things?
Yeah.
I'm just asking you to know her name, girl. I'm giving you one person before I give you a people. And so it's,
that's good. Say that again, girl. Say that again.
I'm giving you one person before I give you a people.
Yes. And I think that's important, just to honor the small.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, the big is to come, but you know, the Lord is so good and he wants the best for his people. So if we can't honor the person and respect the person and love the person, how can we do that to a group of people? That's good. That's good.
And let me ask you a little bit more about obedience, because I love obedience and then I dislike obedience. Just being honest.
Oh, girl.
Let's be real, girl.
It's, oh my goodness. One of the things that I've learned in obedience, especially now in this season for me, having written a book and just released it, obedience has been challenging, right? You know, it's like, it for me, it has felt very, very hard. And it had me questioning in the back of my mind, as I'm sure a lot of people do, God, I was being obedient in this thing, it should feel a little bit easier. And I'm starting to see the lesson in God showing up in those hard moments that has just made the obedience a little bit sweeter, even though it's been really hard. Did you have any kind of moments like that where you were like, here's a thing I know I need to be obedient in, but it feels very hard? And what did you learn out of that?
Yeah, I mean, I have, there's this quote, I was trying to get it real quick, but it's essentially like, nobody who follows the rules makes history. You know, I'm not suggesting everybody needs to disobey, right? But obedience is something that I think by our sinful nature that we have from the fall, we actually pretty much desire disobedience. And I think that when we come to know Christ, obedience has to be a discipline that we learn and that we grow in. And so you asked about like hard times where I've wanted to be disobedient. No, listen, that is too many times to say on this podcast. But I think that the hardest maybe lesson that I learned was doing something that I thought was the right thing. And I didn't really consult God about it. And I went and opened this whole program and did all of this. And the whole time I just remember fighting tooth and nail, like I'm going to get this done. And finally, once this particular program that we had closed, I looked back and was like, wow, anything that I've done that has been in God's will and plan has been as smooth. But when I was disobedient, I was fighting, my flesh was fighting against that, and it was really hard. And I always say too, I'm sure you guys have heard this, good ideas are not always God ideas. Mm-hmm. And so how do I take, that's an act of doing something that God is not asking me to do is disobedient, right? And so I think obedience is just something you practice, something you have to exercise and get used to, and then understand that God is faithful and good when we are obedient. And then it doesn't become such a bad word.
Yeah, that's good. So speaking of outrageous obedience, title of your book again, where do you hear, Rochelle, that the Lord is calling you next, maybe for you personally and in your ministry, Scarlet Oak Ministry?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel that the Lord has gifted Scarlet Hope, the ministry of Scarlet Hope, with a very specific way and approach that is God-given to reach women in darkness with the light, the gospel. Yeah. That is missing right now from the area that I serve in. We hear a lot about anti-trafficking, and we hear a lot about, you know, all of these organizations have popped up since I started. I could list you only five when I started this ministry. But now there's hundreds. Mm-hmm. Well, people tell me literally the gospel, what are you going to do? Like the gospel is not the full answer. Like, okay, we are Christians and we're doing this too. But Scarlet Hope has been uniquely gifted in that we believe the gospel is the answer. We also believe that Jesus doesn't leave people where they're at. He doesn't say, hey, we love you, you can keep working in the strip club. It's like, no, when that woman comes to know Christ or wants more, we have other opportunities for her, okay? So the vision of Scarlet Hope is actually to put 25 Scarlet Hopes in the country in the most exploitive cities in America. And
That's good.
We want teams to reach all women in the adult entertainment industry. And God's doing that. We just launched our 9th site last week in Atlanta. And we plan to put 18 more sites around the country.
Woohoo!
That's so exciting.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That God's awesome. So good. So good.
It's cool to see the way God is taking your obedience and your desire to reach people for him. And he's opening up just a huge field, a harvest of people that are just waiting to hear and need to hear the hope of Christ, because people that have been through traumas and losses and are stuck in places where they are in bondage, they need to have light and they need to be told freedom.
Yeah,
that comes through Christ.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Go ahead, Rochelle. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in Atlanta, when we launched our teams down there, I'll tell this story very, very quickly. Walk into a club. I've never been there before. God opened the door to this club. We walk in. There's 100 women working in this, getting ready to work.
Wow.
And these 3 women grab my hands, don't even know me. They don't even know I'm a Christian, you all. They've never met me in their life. Grab my hands, pull me to the back and said, will you please pray over us?
Wow.
Immediately, they sensed, I need the light. I am drowning here and I need some help. And it was so beautiful. The harvest, I thought of that because Jen, you said the harvest is plentiful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We, and hopefully many people listening, will step up and be outrageously obedient to go to the harvest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
And as we wrap up, Rochelle, this has just been such a treat for me and just so inspiring. Your faith, your courage, and now this book. I just wanted to kind of give you the floor as just why this book that you wrote, that God has called you to write Outrageous Obedience, why this might be a good next step for our listeners and why they should get your book.
Yeah, I think that in my book, I go through essentially if I was being called by God again, like this is how I was called, but also these are all the things that I struggled with and that I hear women in general struggle with when they talk about their purpose and their calling. So the book actually walks through practical application to how you can take the next step and have confidence and have the tools that you need. And of course, the book is just a small next step that you could read and digest and process through. But hopefully by the end of it, women will say, I can do this. I can do this because you know what? God called me and he's going to be with me. Mm-hmm. And he is going to give me the confidence to do whatever it is that I need to do that he's called me to. So the book is practical as well as God's story through me.
That's so great. And I know they will be inspired. We're so inspired just listening to you today and your courage and your ministry and all the things God's doing through you. So I know they will be inspired if they read your book, Rochelle, and we're so thankful for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on here.
Well done. Well done. And folks, until next time.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.